So you want to be a cop? Details are coming up on this week's episode.
Welcome back, everyone, to HPD HQ, the official podcast of the Huntersville Police Department. In this episode, we're going to talk about how you become a cop, specifically with our agency. I'm Odette Saglambeni, the public information officer.
Hey, and I'm Brian, the admin lieutenant over personnel and training.
Well,
that sounds exciting.
Yeah, we got a lot of information in this episode. We're going to talk about how you become a police officer here.
Specifically at Huntersville Police Department, we're going to talk about how to become an officer. It's going to be riveting stuff. I can't wait. This is going to be so good.
So exciting.
Odette, how's your week been?
You know, it's been really humid outside.
And hot. It's ridiculous. We had a nice cookout yesterday, though. That was a good cookout, right?
Yeah, we did.
Food was good.
Burgers, hot dogs,
ice cream. Italian ice.
It was really good.
I love Italian ice. So good, as evidenced by that I love Italian ice.
What's your favorite flavor?
I'll have to go with the cherry yesterday. The cherry yesterday was pretty good.
It was good. My favorite, though, is watermelon. Gotta have the watermelon.
Watermelon's
good.
Cool. So we're going to talk today about how you become a, how you can become a cop, specifically with Huntersville PD. So we want to talk to Odette first about how she decided. We all have our whys, but how did you decide to become a cop?
Oh, you're ready for this story. Well, when I was in college, I was actually a math major. Can you believe that?
No. Math?
I was.
Okay.
All the way up until the summer before my senior year of college. I was actually a basketball and soccer coach and thought that, you know, I could do this. I could teach kids. And
you coach both? Were the basketball and soccer?
Yeah, basketball
I could, and soccer. I could see you being a basketball coach. I can tell you're like 6'3".
5'6".
Okay, that's probably probably why I never got the detective job that I was put in for, because I totally pegged you for being like 6'3".
Well, you probably never will. Anyway.
Okay.
So, like I said, I was math major up until the summer before my senior year. Over that summer, I saw this movie called The Kingdom with Jamie Foxx. I don't know if you've seen it or heard of it. It's basically about they assemble a team to destroy a terrorist cell. And saw that movie, and I said, yes, that's what I want to do.
A movie. Were you in a theater, or were you at home watching?
You know, when the theaters were actually open.
Oh, okay.
yeah, I was. I was in a theater watching the movie, and I said, this is what I want
to
do.
Wouldn't you give anything right now to go and spend $65 on a soda and popcorn just to sit in a movie theater now?
It is kind of nice to sit and watch it from home. And it's a little cheaper.
So you're watching a movie.
Yep. Watching The Kingdom. And said, yep, this is what I want to do. I changed my major to criminal justice. Did an extra year in college.
Wow.
And, yeah. Then got hired on at Greenville Police Department in South Carolina.
Holy cow. Math major.
Math.
You're going to... What did you say you're going to do with the math major?
I was going to teach in high school. Could you imagine?
No.
Well, how about
our guest that's coming on in a few minutes is also shaking her head in disbelief because, yeah.
Well, how about you?
I was in college to be a biology major to eventually, I don't know what is so funny about this, to be a biology major, and was going to use that to go into physical therapy maybe.
You just so don't what strike I, me as the type.
What I decide, what's that?
To me, you strike me as the type of person that bites their ice cream instead of licks it. Am I right?
Actually, you got to be careful with that brain freeze. Oh my gosh. So I had this part-time job and doing security to pay bills while I was in college, and had some friends that were in police work and decided to take the leap. Plus, they looked like they were totally rich and stuff. And I said, those guys look rich.
Yeah.
So I want to be a cop.
You really get rich doing this job.
Yeah. I'm excited today because we're going to have Sergeant Jennifer Sprague in here shortly to discuss how to become an officer here at Huntersville PD. First, we want to talk about some of the minimum standards to be a police officer with the Huntersville Police Department.
Yep, and these are just basic, bare bones. Here's what you need to become a police officer. It's going to be a little boring, but just bear with me. So you need to be at least 21 years of age or older, a U.S. citizen, be a high school graduate or possess an equivalent certificate, have a valid North Carolina driver's license, possess or be able to obtain a valid North Carolina basic law enforcement training certificate, and have good moral character. I know. That's boring.
Okay. And you also probably should not have committed or been convicted of a felony or some other misdemeanors.
Right.
Is there somewhere they can go look to see what that is specifically?
If you go to huntersvillepd.org, go to employment, and it will have links in there with all of that information.
Of all the crimes?
Yep.
Probably a good rule of thumb would be, like everything else, if you have to ask...
It's probably a no.
It's probably going to be a no. I mean, go ahead and apply still. I mean, go ahead and apply. Jennifer will take all the applications.
Oh, yeah.
And we can tell you no if that's the case. That's an easy thing to do.
Doesn't hurt to apply.
But if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Yeah, probably.
Is that a good rule of thumb, I think?
Good rule of thumb.
How long, so if I was going to go be a cop and I wanted to go get that certification, how long does it take for me to get that?
Well, BLET, which is basic law enforcement training, is 16 weeks. Now, you can either pay your own way, unless you get hired on to a larger agency. Typically, those will put you through their own academy. But when we're talking about Huntersville, you would have to go through an academy.
Where are those academies? Where could I find one?
So we have one here in town.
We do.
At CPCC.
Yep. They actually are pretty good feeder school for us to hire officers from, too.
Yeah, because they're right here in town.
Huge shout out to CPCC here in Huntersville.
Oh, yeah. They have a great program.
Phenomenal BLET, or Basic Law Enforcement Training Program, that churns out successful cops.
Right.
Every semester, and we usually end up with those cops. Usually the top 1, 2, 3, 4 people out of every class comes here first.
Yep.
So, ha-ha to Cornelius and Davidson and anywhere else that might be listening. We're the best.
But just know, you don't have to go to CPCC to come work here. I mean, we'll pick people from other academies.
Yep. So most other places across the state, the community college system runs this program. And so you can become a police officer through any local community college system. If you go to a bigger department, though, you could look around and see places like Charlotte or other big cities like Raleigh and Greensboro. But let's be honest, you actually want to come here. You don't want to go to those other places.
No.
Who else has a podcast right now?
You should come here.
Yeah.
I haven't seen one.
Who else? You haven't seen a podcast? Mm-hmm. So we're in episode 2 of this podcast series now. And we're the only ones that have a podcast. Now, we might not have a podcast for episode 3, but we're going to try. And I don't know. Did you look the other day? Not to jump around a little bit, but have you looked yet? We've had like almost 200 people listen to this thing.
I know. It's kind of surprising.
Platforms.
I thought we'd have 3. Me, you, and
oh, yeah, because we got
maybe the chief to make sure we weren't saying anything we weren't supposed to.
So, we actually have, you know, almost 200 people that have listened to it. We've got a bunch of subscribers already, and they say as long as we can keep this going with people listening that we can keep up with this thing, and who knows what we're going to say eventually. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. So subscribe and send us questions if you have them.
Yep. We are very excited. Oh, again, the process... Should somebody start it before they come to work here? Should they wait till they graduate?
They can start it before they graduate. You don't have to wait until you graduate. So they can absolutely start applying before then.
Do you hear that, people? If you're over there.
Apply.
Sitting in class right now, listening to podcasts instead of paying attention. Because there is a rookie school going on right now over at BLET. Apply. Come.
Yeah.
Come to us.
Yep, we won't turn you away.
So I am very excited to have Jen here today, trying to make it personal for you all. Jen and I have worked together for nearly 20 years. We were both super duper young, and I'll leave it at that, 20 years ago. And our careers have come full circle. So Jen and I worked together early on I was one of her first training officers. I don't know how she became a successful cop after me being her first training officer, but she did. And she's had a successful career here between doing patrol and then in investigation. She did special investigations for quite some time. And for the last 5 years, she's been our recruiter. So what better person to tap into how you get a job with Huntersville Police Department than Jen? So we're excited. Week two, and we already have a guest speaker. I didn't know how long you're going to let me talk without anybody else saying anything.
You like to ramble.
I do like to ramble.
I just let you go.
It's not like I really had much choice. You kind of drug me for our hallway. We just have moved our hallway to the
closet.
Room closet here.
This is the 100,000 watt recording studio in the equipment closet.
So it works.
It works. It works. So if you need me to pass you a uniform shirt or something, just let me know and I can reach behind me here and grab it. So welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you.
To our podcast, week two. You heard Odette speak earlier about watching a movie. I don't know who watches a movie and decides they want to be a cop.
I do.
Unusual.
But could you tell us how you became a cop? We all know the whys. We all can say the whys. We wanted to help people. We wanted to serve our community. So how did you become a cop? Please don't tell me you watched a movie also.
Yeah, I kind of watched a movie and wanted to become a cop. It's a thing. That's two out of three in the room here. So I was in college and studying something totally different, like both of you. Nobody studies criminal justice.
Not on purpose.
No.
And I started reading a lot of crime books, true crime, actual cases, and became really interested in crime scene work, actually forensic work. So then the movie thing came along. I watched
the movie.
Yep, The Silence of the Lambs.
I wish I had a movie.
And I decided I wanted to be Clarice Starling. So I had to figure out how to get there from here.
Clarice Starling. Yeah, you resemble her a little bit.
Yeah. So probably most of our listeners don't even know this movie, or
hopefully they do. If they don't, right. Go look up
Hannibal
Lecter.
Silence of the Lambs.
I mean, anyone? So I wanted to be an FBI agent, but then I realized I didn't want to move all over the country. So I got into forensic work and I became a crime scene investigator with CMPD, and I did that for about 5 years and just realized that I wanted more of the pie. That's one slice of the police work pie, and I wanted to do more. I wanted to talk to the victims and talk to the suspects and put the cases together. So Huntersville hired me and put me through the academy, and this was 18 years ago, and I've had an awesome career here. They've given me a great opportunity.
You have had an awesome career here, and what I was alluding to a minute ago is that it's kind of come full circle that you and I have worked here for so long and went our separate ways in the department. And then slowly made our way back to each other.
Strangely enough, they gave us both rank.
We both got promoted. So I trained you. You got promoted. Then I got promoted. I don't even know. Does that say anything about the department? Is that us? I'm not even really sure. And then now for 4 or 5 years now, the two of us have worked together. And slowly we're letting Odette into our circle. But it's still going to take a little bit of time.
Still trying to make my way in there.
She does okay work. But slowly we'll let her in and join us. When you're getting people to apply for that are applying for jobs here, what are some of the things you're looking for in an applicant, some of this coming in the building fresh off the street?
So Odette read the boring list of, you know, minimum standards, 21 years old, can't have any felony convictions, that kind of thing. I would consider that a C student. And we're looking for the A students. Just because you meet minimum standards and can go to the academy and get that certification, that's not necessarily what we are going to be looking for. Some things that make people stand out for us are superior oral and written communication skills. If you would ask any cop in this building, they would tell you that communication skills matter more than any other skill set in this line of work. We have to be able to communicate well with people all day, and then we have to write the reports to show exactly what we did on each call for service.
What percentage do you think of our job is writing and communicating? 100%?
It's the majority of it.
What about the writing part of it? We're doing reports. What percentage of our job is report writing, where we have to make sure we got a good case that we build and everything? 75% of our job is sitting around writing reports.
Probably.
It's a lot. You have to be able to do it well. So that's something I'm looking for on the front end. You know, we don't have the ability to teach people how to write once they get to patrol. So I'm looking at that in the resume, the cover letter, how they fill out the application packet, the laziness of not capitalizing your words in the application packet. That's something that I see will directly translate to how they're going to write reports. So I'm looking for that. Good judgment, the ability to make independent decisions, good decisions independently. You know, we don't, all our cars are one officer cars, so you know, you don't have a supervisor looking over your shoulder all day. You got to be able to make decisions on the fly pretty quickly, so that superior judgment. I'm looking for a person with internal drive, you know, intrinsically motivated people. We don't see a whole lot of extrinsic rewards in this job. There's not going to be the money and the glory. And although in this town, I will say, total shout out to our community. We have amazing support in this community. And I think our officers are super grateful and appreciative of how appreciative the community is towards us. But the paycheck isn't going to reflect the amount of work and training and you know, just kind of blood, sweat, and tears that go into this job.
I'm trying to think of all the oral board stuff that we sit in and we ask people why they got into police work.
Nobody ever says for the money.
I don't think anybody's ever said for the money.
No.
And if they do, I'm probably going to look at the judgment that you're talking about.
They wouldn't pass the psych if they said that.
Yeah, if they were looking at that, for sure.
Yeah, so I'm looking at those type of things, and that would be evidenced in things like doing internships and maybe volunteer opportunities, you know, things that they've done over and above what's on the resume, what's on the, you know, just their work. Good attitudes, obviously. You know, we deal with a lot of tough situations. This is an extremely stressful job, so I'm looking for people that are going to be able to rise above circumstances that they might find themselves in every day. You know, we see a lot of bad stuff. We see people on their worst day. So that positive, those positive qualities.
And we said earlier, you know, we're looking for the A student. We don't want the C student.
Yeah.
We want the best of the best. You all that are listening to this are mostly probably going to be Huntersville people. And I think you would expect us to hire the A students as well. You guys don't want us to hire the C students either. And that's evidenced by the support that you give us that Jen was just talking about. I alluded to it the first episode. We have 102 officers here. How many openings do we have right now in the department?
Four
openings. So that's about 4%. And we are way lower than the national average of somewhere between 10 and 15% rolling of open positions. And that, again, shows that when people are looking for places to move to live, to play, and to work, they look to us and see the amount of support that we get and our social media presence. You all are always commenting and giving us good feedback and are always praising us and feeding us.
Yeah. I feel like I've put on 15 pounds. Probably look like it, too.
I'm not even allowed to comment on that. We have gotten an outpouring of support, though, for the last few weeks among everything that people know that we're dealing with a lot right now, and you all are also dealing with a lot, so we appreciate the support, and we'll get through this together.
Yeah.
So what about social media stuff? You know, it's easy to get on there and just post something and then you regret it later and you hit delete. What are you looking for as far as social media?
That really speaks to the judgment that I was talking about earlier. We're looking with people with good judgment. So we definitely look at your social media, no doubt about that. And I've seen all kinds of interesting things on people who are applying in their social media. I like a really good, boring social media. Here's my cat and my dog and pictures of my family and the picnic last weekend.
Let me tell you,
out there.
Yeah.
Can't get it back.
And we scroll back, and let me tell you, we put Jen in this position and her detective investigative background. She will find it. She will find those skeletons, and so that way we don't have those skeletons carry over to our police department. If we do, side note, if we do go on your social media and there are pictures of cats, you're out. You can't be
dogs only.
Dogs only.
We're dog people.
All three of us are dog people. So all you cat people, if you want to unsubscribe, unsubscribe. But no
we
hate
didn't
mail.
Need you anyway.
We
<I'm> kidding. Well, to piggyback off that question, you know, I know you describe what you look for in an applicant, but what makes an applicant stand out to you?
When I actually get to meet them, certainly that professional presentation.
Shorts and a t-shirt.
Absolutely.
Flip-flops when you show up to the PD unannounced without an appointment.
So look the part is what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Present yourself well from the beginning. And, you know, the beginning being on paper, you're going to have to do that before we get to meet in person. But always professional. Realize that every interaction that we have is professional. And it's not just me. What's funny is when I have an applicant pull up in front of the building, there's a whole... the whole front hallway, and for us, the front hallway is command staff. They get to judge you before you even get to me. So I'll have them, the captain's calling upstairs saying, please tell me this guy in the tank top and flip-flops isn't here to see you about a job. So you're being judged kind of all the time. So always that professional presentation in anything written and in person. Do your homework about the agency. You know, I love when an applicant in their cover letter tells me that, you know, our values are honor, professionalism, and dedication, and those are values that I share. Tell me a little bit about yourself. And I love to hear about an applicant's heart, honestly. What is your heart? Why are you drawn to this type of work? Don't be afraid to tell us a little bit about yourself. Don't be so robotic. You know, we're looking for people that can be compassionate with other human beings. So show me who you are as a person.
I definitely want somebody to come here with a servant heart and not with the attitude of what can we do for you. You should be coming to us with the attitude of what you can do for us or what you can do for the town. Because if you don't come to police work with a servant heart, no matter where you end up, even though we think you should end up in Huntersville, no matter where you end up, if you go into this with the wrong mindset, it'll be easy to continue to perpetuate that, and you won't get any satisfaction out of the job if you're constantly looking for what somebody can do for you. You know, what can you do for your country? What can you do for your police department? I tell people this all the time. You need to be part of the solution, and part of the solution is being involved in your community and identifying the people that might need help and offer that help to those people.
And the awesome thing right now that we're hearing a lot, Odette and I went down to the academy at CPCC, like you were talking about. They just started up a few weeks ago, so we go in and hear their, they do a short presentation at the beginning and tell everybody in the class why they're wanting to become police officers and what have you done to prepare yourself and kind of what do you bring to the table. And we heard over and over again that be the change quote, be the change that you wish to see in the world, and really honor people that are willing to raise their hand right now and say, I'm ready to do this. I want to do this job. I see all that's going on in our country and the unrest and everything that's going on, and say, you know what, I can be the change. So, you know, that is the servant heart that you're speaking about, and that's what we're looking for sure.
It's actually surprising to see how big the class is right now.
Yeah.
With things, you know, the way things are going on.
People,
it's a large class.
People joke with me that, wow, you must have the toughest job in the world right now, but I look at the class that just started, and there's, I think, 26 or 27 people in there, and that's really,
it's
that's
the most
a
we've
lot.
Seen in a while.
Yeah. So people are stepping up, and, you know, don't be scared that we are going to leave this profession, you know, when I retire, when Brian retires. Odette's got a little bit longer than than the two of us, but we're going to leave it in good hands. We're looking for the best people to take over for us and do better than us in the next generation of police.
While somebody's in the academy, if they don't have a job yet, will we hire them while they're in the academy, or do they have to be done and graduated and come to us?
We will certainly start processing them. You can start the application process. The process, if unencumbered, is probably a 3 or 4 month process anyway, with the obstacle of having the time restrictions in BLET. That's obviously going to take longer, but if someone is successful in the academy, they're rocking the tests, They're doing great in the physical fitness aspect. All the feedback from the instructors and the school director is that they're doing great in practical exercises. Heck yeah, we're definitely looking for that person to start applying. And I'll work with them. I come in on weekends sometimes and test people who are in the academy because they're not going to be able to come in during the weekdays. But yeah, absolutely, we will process people while in the academy. It'll just take longer.
And what's something that you wish you had known while you were in the academy that would have made you a good candidate
for an agency? Way back in 1900. What year did you go through? 2000?
2002.
Okay.
Yeah, I was the first BLET class the spring semester after 9/11. So we had the biggest class ever show up at CPCC is where I went through. So 45 people showed up on that first day. But that was the time that people were showing up for military service and that kind of thing too. So
I hear that comment a lot that sometimes we need to remember what we felt like on 9/12. So the same thing with this, with people going to the police academy, we remember how patriotic everything was and remember what it was like on 9/12, and we had those people coming to serve. And I think that's kind of what's happening now, is that people feel like they want to be part of a change and they see that change is coming, and so they're going to rookie school still in droves, thankfully.
Yeah.
And the country came together at that time, and I hope that that's coming.
Yeah.
The advice I would give for somebody in the academy, or even advice for a new officer, during the academy, I would tell you that every day is a job interview. You are being watched and judged. I kind of alluded to that about our captains watching the people coming in the building. You're being watched all the time. The instructors are assessing you, the school director, anybody that comes in stops by, the role players, and by that I mean recruiters and back here at the agency, we hear a lot about who's doing well and who you probably want to avoid. So step up to that pressure and stress in the academy, and realize you get out of your comfort zone and get comfortable with being out of your comfort zone. I would tell people to raise your hand for every opportunity. Take the opportunities to learn. You're going to have awesome instructors in the academy. Learn from these folks. They have a lot of years of experience. Keep reading. Keep learning what others in the field are doing. Really learn your craft. This is good. This is advice for any job.
Sure. Yeah.
Learn your craft. There's case law coming out all the time. There's different things changing in police work all the time. Don't get out of the academy and never go to another class. There's so much to learn.
Out of those 27,
I think.
How many are hired with us already? How many are coming to us from that class?
We have 3 that are hired and then 1 that has a conditional offer.
So we got 5 people in the, out of this 27. So you hear that, people?
That was
25% of this class.
I know
class.
You can't do math.
I told you I was a biology major.
And that was an epic fail. And you were math, so thanks for catching that.
Mm-hmm.
Epic failure.
That's 4.
So almost
25%. Speaking of numbers, starting pay.
And for all that work you just put in,
a whopping
$43,535.
We joke, but this is top in this county, at least. We're one of the top paying agencies in this county. And to go back, I said I was going to allude to this earlier before we started the podcast today, is in 1998 when I started in the foothills of North Carolina in Wilkes County, I was making $17,000 a year. So you can imagine how hard it was to put to pay bills and rent and all that jazz on $17,000 a year. So
ramen noodles.
Jeez. So we have one of the top starting pays in the area, and we take care of our people and a lot of the other benefits that come with it. You definitely are not getting into this. Yeah. I did not think getting into this that by the time I reached 40, I'd be a millionaire.
Yeah, no.
Did you?
I would say, though, that it's rare the person who only starts at that starting pay. Talking about incentives and things that we pay for on top of that, most people will have something. Usually for education, we pay 2.5% for an associate's, 5% for a bachelor's. We pay for the ability to be bilingual. Residency, we pay another 2.5%. And then training and experience. We haven't really talked about this, but shout out to any laterals that might be considering making the jump to us.
Come to us. I already mentioned that once.
The percentage varies on that, what we'll pay. But, you know, we hire a ton of laterals, and we value that experience that you bring from some other agency or state to us, and that leadership that you bring to it. So we pay for that. So I say 43,535, but most people don't start at that. They have some sort of incentive on top of that.
We also, when this thing is over with, you can jump over to our Facebook page and look in the comment section. You can also go to our website, huntersvillepd.org. You can go to either place, and all these incentives and things are going to be there for you to be able to look at. We're going to kind of wrap up. I appreciate you coming in and telling us about all this stuff that you can do to be a cop here. I will say that I know the three of us love this place, and we want everybody to come here, but only if you're a student, right?
Only the A students.
Only the A students get to come here. So, Odette, we'll see you to the door.
What? Jeez.
That was rough.
Chubby.
Sorry.
Crowd.
So thank you again, Jen, for joining us. Maybe we'll have another guest in a few weeks. I have no idea. We're going to try to figure out some other guests, because I really enjoy doing this, especially with my people that I have been with for so long. Yeah. Let's give a little traffic tip of the week. What do you think?
Yeah.
So our traffic officers, man, they have been getting inundated with complaints in neighborhoods, which is typical this time of year. People are going back to school. At their
speeding
house, albeit.
Yeah.
So they're getting lots of speeding complaints in the neighborhood right now. So pay attention to your speed in the neighborhoods. Pay attention to the pedestrians might be walking around. And watch out for those motor guys. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
Those motor guys, they will get you.
They will get you.
They
so
will
be
get
careful.
You every time. Those motor guys do not play around.
Yeah.
Especially also, that big one on that motorcycle.
They're all big.
Yeah, that's true.
They all look large on those motorcycles.
That is true.
I don't know what it is. They're not small bikes.
They're not. They're big people.
Also, if you guys have a complaint, don't just send it to our social media accounts. We don't monitor those 24/7, so we don't always see them. Rule of thumb would be just go to huntersvillepd.org. If you just go to the search bar and type in traffic issue report form, you can fill out that form, and it'll go directly to our traffic unit. So try to do that.
Next episode.
So
do we have a plan already?
We do have a plan. Surprisingly, we do have a plan. we can get good at this.
Yeah,
stuff.
We're gonna. It's gonna be like muscle memory. We're gonna get this thing going.
Episode 3. We're gonna talk about COVID, how it's affected our department, how we police, and the crime rates here in Huntersville.
We already have this the stats being pulled. You may or may not be surprised by some of these things, but we are gonna talk about COVID, how it affects us, how it's affected you all, and what we're doing moving forward.
So thanks for joining us in this episode. We'll see you guys on the next one.
Thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of HPD HQ. If you like this episode and think someone else would too, please share it and don't forget to hit the subscribe option. You can also follow the Huntersville Police Department on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you would like to hear your comment or question read on air, please leave them at hpdpio@huntersville.org. That's hpdpio@huntersville.org. This is the Huntersville Police Department. Thank you for listening. And remember, making good choices makes for a better day.